Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 12:22 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 3rd. It's Labor Day in the USA, so the US markets are shut, but the world doesn't stop turning because one country has got a holiday. And it was a pretty dynamic day today in a significant number of currency markets, where the pound, for example, fell almost a full cent against the euro. But much more important than that is that the progression of lower rally highs remains intact. We've had a significant number of counter trend rallies, and the most recent one of those was the largest that we've seen since at least April, but the downtrend remains intact. And this is a rather important area, because if we zoom in and, or I think perhaps zoom out and look at the longer term, well, we can see that 110 to the euro has been an area of support on at least two occasions in the last few years. That is now being tested. Well, part of the reason for that is because everyone's back from holiday now, and particularly in Europe, where people tend to take longer holidays, they're back at their desks now for the first week of September. And the big question everyone's asking is what's going to happen with regard to Brexit. I continue to think that a deal is probably going to be agreed upon, but it's probably not going to deliver what people were expecting the deal to deliver. And that is, I think, why we're having this volatility in the currency. When you have David Davis going on live TV and saying that any deal would be almost as bad as staying inside the Eurozone, inside the EU, well, that I think does paint probably the most accurate picture, that there have been so many concessions already made to the EU, there are probably going to have to be more concessions made in order to achieve a deal, and therefore the question would have to be asked whether the deal that is in fact going to be agreed upon is so close to being a member of the EU that what was the purpose of Brexit in the first place? And therefore, the government will not have delivered upon what the people voted for. So therefore, then you're either going to have the government will fall, or there will have to be a new election, or they will go ahead with a hard Brexit. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and that is why the currency is back on its lows. So I think this is a rather important area. Well, if we have uncertainty within the UK and its relationship with the EU, it's not as if the EU is also on a very sound footing. The big question anyone looking at a 10-year chart of the Eurostoxx index is whether this is a consolidation or a top. It has head and shoulders characteristics, and the neckline of the range is probably somewhere around this 370 point level. On the other hand, if it's a consolidation, then the triangular pattern that's been developing for most of this year will be resolved on the upside, and then it will successfully break through 400. Well, there are substantial risks that are outstanding for the European economy. And when we look at the euro, then it has come back to the first area of potential resistance, which represents the progression of lower rally highs in the region of the trend mean. And now the big question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move back above it. Well, if we then look at it the other way around and the dollar index, well, the dollar index has bounced and it continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows. Well, as long as that remains the case, then we'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Therefore, the question about whether the euro is going to be able to muster the wherewithal to break its progression of lower rally highs is very much open to question. The Europeans certainly don't want a stronger currency. Well, what I find rather humorous is the almost pantomime quality of the commentary coming out of Italy, where you have the leaders of the populist party saying, oh yes, we will push ahead and break the EU's fiscal rules. And you have the finance minister saying, oh no, we won't do that. Well, the reality is that if we look at it over any kind of medium to longer term scale, the Italian government bond yield has first step above the base characteristics, and you continue to see that some of the smaller, excuse me, some of the larger banks in Italy remain under pressure. UniCredito is far and away the largest, and very much followed by São Paulo, San Paolo. So, when we think about what it is that the where the risk is in terms of the Italian financial sector, it's simply that the Italian banks hold an awful lot of Italian government debt already, and they have been, I think, rather accurately saying that this pass-through from banking issues to the sovereign and from the sovereign to the banking sector, this issue is still very much a problem. That was the primary reason behind the sovereign wealth crisis in Europe back in 2010 and 2011, and it's still a significant issue. Well, when we look at the performance of emerging market currencies, well, not much has improved. The Brazilian real had bounced on Friday, but it gave up a good part of that decline, of that bounce in here today. And it almost all of it, in fact, it continues to hold the move below four. The Russian ruble also looks like it is primed to trend lower against the dollar. And there is, I mean, this looks like nothing more than a pause within a recovery scenario for the US dollar. The Argentine peso was also weak in here today, and that is despite the fact that you've got 60% interest rates. Well, that kind of interest rate is going to gain traction sooner or later, but it certainly wasn't resulting in a significant rally for the currency in here just yet. Well, the Turkish lira was also under pressure in here today, and the South African rand really does look susceptible to additional downside. It is coming back, the dollar is coming back up towards the 15 level to the rand. Well, it hasn't been able to sustain a move above that level in a fair amount of time, but this continues to look like a pretty bullish pattern for the dollar generally. So that's where I think those are some of the more problem-oriented emerging markets, but the Indian rupee pushed on to new reaction lows in here today. Then when we look at the Indonesian rupiah, it's a pretty similar story. It is pushing on now to new all-time lows, in fact. So we've got quite a lot of contagion that is coming through in terms of the pressure that's coming to bear on the emerging market currencies. But what you have seen is China starting to at least stabilize the decline in its currency. They certainly don't want to see a rout, but neither do they want to see a significant depreciation. This doesn't look like really anything other than a pause. They don't want to see the renminbi go all the way back to 6.6 and recover to the trend mean. I think much more likely is that if this pause continues, is that the trend mean will catch up with it before we see the next leg downwards in the renminbi. When we look at individual stock markets, the Nifty index was in negative territory in here today, but I don't think that this is particularly to do with the currency, but rather the fact that Reliance Industries has been rallying spectacularly and has been down now for the last four consecutive sessions. So it was due some consolidation, and it is getting it. That is also starting to feed through now into the performance of Tata Consultancy, and that was in negative territory in here today. But again, this is another share that had been ranging for a prolonged period and then had this very explosive breakout this year. So it is ripe for some pause and consolidation. Then, when we look at some of the ASEAN markets, the Thai index was pretty quiet in here today. But the big question I think people will be looking at is its performance in terms of the baht. The baht was actually in positive territory in here today. It has closed its overextension relative to the trend mean. Now the question is whether it can strengthen through it. If that kind of relative strength can continue, well then I think that is the kind of characteristic that people will be looking for when they start to dip a toe back into the emerging markets. The Vietnamese dong has historically not been a particularly strong currency, but it is very steady right now. It is not depreciating at nearly the same pace that we've seen for some of the other emerging markets. Then when we zoom and look at the stock market, it was in negative territory in here today. It's testing the 1,000-point level. This also is coinciding with the region of the trend mean. It's a rather important level that if the demand-dominated environment is going to be reasserted, then it really does need to push back above that 1,000-point level. This, in other words, is the first area of true potential resistance following the reversionary rally that we've seen over the course of the last 2 months. Then when we look at the commodities complex, silver prices were in negative territory in here today. They were that reversed an early advance. Now they're right on the lower side of their range. Well, this continues to represent a reasonably consistent decline with a series of steps, one below another. Prices are coming right back down to test the lows we saw in 2015, and that was around the 1370 area. So, what that suggests is that there is scope for another down leg in this rather consistent trend before we get to a previous area of potential support. Then the question is whether a reversionary rally would break the progression of lower rally highs, but certainly we haven't had a rally to do that just yet. Platinum prices have been a little bit steadier, and they have continued to pause just below this $800 level, but it really does need to sustain a move above it to really signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Gold prices, golly, I'm not typing very effectively. Gold prices were pretty unchanged in here today and closing out the day around $1,200. But of course, the US market is shut, so the lack of volatility is perhaps not so surprising. The bigger question is what's going to happen tomorrow. So far, this rally has not been enough to break the progression of lower rally highs, and it really does need to push on from this $1,200 area to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Copper prices were in mildly negative territory, but perhaps the more important point is that when we look at it on a weekly basis, the progression of lower rally highs remains intact. This has been a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And the recovery over the course of the last 2 years is now very much in question. It really does need to sustain a move above the trend mean. And so far, even an attempt at a reversionary rally has been unsuccessful. So this remains a supply-dominated environment. And oil prices remain reasonably well bid. And Brent today is. It was up about another 50 cents. It's coming back towards the upper side of this range. The most important thing it's done in the course of the last few months has been to bounce from the region of the trend mean and the upper side of that underlying trading range. So far, this has been a pretty impressive rebound. It's been up now for 2 consecutive weeks. And if it can simply consolidate in a rather shallow manner in the region of that $80 area, then the prospect for a successful break above that level would have to be given the benefit of the doubt. Then, if we take a look at what's going on in the bond markets, well, the range that we've seen represents the arguments both for and against a bull market in bonds that they're back in equilibrium. The yield remains around the region of the trend mean and the progression of high reaction lows, so this is about where supply should start to become dominant once more. But One of the other points, of course, is that we have such pressure coming to bear on the emerging markets bond sector. And if we look at, for example, a longer term chart of the JP Morgan US dollar emerging markets bond index, while it's at the lower side of its range, it was weakening on Friday. It really is at the point where if it's going to bounce, then this is about where it should start to happen. But so far, there's little evidence of that. Well, this weakness in emerging markets is, I think, one of the factors that is helping to stoke investment demand for US assets, and bonds are certainly a big one of those, and not least because the relative returns that are now available on US debt versus that of international issuers has come in or contracted quite a lot. So the relative value play is in the US dollar's favor at present. So that is, I think, one of the reasons also why we continue to see that there is some relative strength in US dollar assets, and the futures prices are in positive territory right now. That the I think the other big point is that when we look at the performance of indices over the course of the year so far, that the best performing have been in the US by far, and the Nasdaq continues to lead. The cloud computing sector and software generally is continues to do well, and the subscription business model is also one of the best performing subsectors, or amalgamation of different points of different sectors, that continues to do well. We are in the third psychological perception stage of this bull market, where momentum is starting to take over, and the as long as these primary indices on Wall Street continue to hold their breakouts above the peak that we saw back in January and March, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But that is in at the same time in the full knowledge that there is evidence of acceleration emerging. That the performance that we're seeing in the cloud computing sector and the performance, for example, of Apple, well, that's now really clearly accelerating. That the trillion-dollar market cap level was just a milestone, and people are reconfirming their bullish sentiment. This kind of acceleration is out of character with the kind of move that we've seen in the share over any period in since at least 2012. Well, we know what happened after the big acceleration in 2012. So a price like or a share like Apple cannot continue to go up at this pace indefinitely, and the first clear downward dynamic is likely to represent a peak of at least near term, but most particularly probably medium term significance. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.